Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're going to take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio.
And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain.
Yeah!
This is the Steve Austin Show. Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Steve Austin Show. I'm coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California today. I'm sitting in my office at 316 Gimmick Street. I'll tell you what, I got up at 3:30 in the morning today and started drinking coffee. At 4:30, I was putting on my tennis shoes, went down to the gym. They opened at 5 and got in there and knocked out 45 minutes of fasted cardio. Fasted cardio. What do you mean by fasted cardio? Were you running fast? No. Fasted cardio means you're just doing cardio on an empty belly, because the theory behind fasted cardio is, since you ain't got nothing in your stomach, then the activity that you're doing will draw upon the fat reserves. So, reason I'm doing fasted cardio, because I got to get my ass in shape. Finally got the damn real official green light from CMT that we are indeed going to light up Broken Skull Challenge coming up around the corner. Looks like we're probably going to go into production, give or take, around August, maybe September. But the season premiere will be on November 14th. So I'm telling you, it's going to be real interesting to try to get my ass in tip-top shape, because I still have not regained the use of my right arm yet. I am still going to physical therapy, and I lay there on that damn table, and they pull my arm like it's in an arm bar and put the range of motion back in it. I'm not doing shit. I think we're supposed to start doing some isometric-type stuff in a week and a half. I'm just waiting for them to give me the green light, because I'm not going to push the envelope and fuck this damn thing up. I got to be out there to film the toughest show on television, and make no mistake about it, there's some pretenders and there's some contenders out there, but there's only one Broken Skull Challenge, and I'm the motherfucker that runs that show, and it's the baddest show on TV, and that's the bottom line, because I said so, because that's the way it actually is. Like I always tell people, man, it's kind of like, what was it, Rocky IV, when Rocky fought Dolph Lundgren, Drago, and then Dolph Lundgren had all the fancy scientific training equipment, all the cables and shiny machines, and then you saw Rocky over training, he had boulders and railroad ties and posts and shit like that. That's what the Broken Skull Challenge is. Goddamn, it's the simplest damn show to understand in the world. Now, it's simple to understand because you got three rounds of competition. You've got eight people, head-to-head bracket-style competition. If you win, you stick around. If you lose, you go home. You got human beings doing battle with another human being to fight to get to the next round. Out of eight people standing, one person will be left to take on the legendary one and only Skullbuster the next day. If you can beat the benchmark time set by my returning champion, you will stick around and be my returning champion, and you'll get $10,000 for your efforts. Then anytime someone cannot beat your time, you get $10,000. So there's motivation right there. But monetary motivation ain't the reason these badass athletes come out to the Broken Skull Challenge. These people come out there on top of that mountain in the dirt in that hot desert sun in the middle of fucking nowhere to put it all on the line, to put the money where their mouth is, and prove how badass, competitive, athletic, and tough, and iron will, and strength, and determination that they possess. Some people send me these little messages on Steve Austin BSR, my Twitter account. One dude in particular, I can't remember his name, he's always talking about how he come out there and smoked the Skullbuster. Hell, son, if you think you can come out there and beat my skull buster, then show up any damn day of the week while we're filming out there, and you'll have seven other people out there that are going to say, hey, not so fast, my friend. I didn't come here just to get treated like some chump and get sent home. I'm going to give you every single thing I got. So, anyway, let me wrap up his promo and get caught up talking about this goddamn show. I dig his show the most. And I live out there on set 24/7, 5 days a week. Come home for a day and a half, go back out there and get it again. Dedication, staying out there. I ain't got to fight all the fucking traffic. Get out there and do my job. Got my gym out there. So, anyway, I went on a little tirade there, man. I got all fired up. Goddamn, I finally got a job coming back up. I'm looking forward to getting down to it. So, today, got my 45 minutes of cardio in. I'm going to go do back and biceps. I did chest, shoulders, and tries yesterday. And then tomorrow will be a leg day. I haven't trained legs since I hurt my shoulder because I can't squat. And I don't really like the leg press machines they got over there. So I hadn't been doing too much legs, and I got to get on my legs because it's hard just training one side of your body to get just that, you know, just that fucking effort, that feeling when you've left the gym, when you've given everything you've had, just training with one arm is kind of fucked up. But hey, it is what it is. Got my diet all in stock. Stopped drinking the Broken Skull IPA for a little bit so I can get down to fighting weight. But I'm looking forward to getting out there. God damn it. What else is going on? Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about something else before I move on and get to the body podcast. Because today, what I got is last of my podcast with Bill Goldberg. I spent the night down there at the Goldberg compound in San Diego a couple of weeks ago. And we wrapped up our epic conversation with the tour of Bill's garage. Checked out all his badass cars and motorcycles, and I ain't sure that he gave me as good a tour as he gave Jay Leno, who visited Goldberg's garage just before me, but I can tell you that Goldberg was not taking me up on any of my offers to buy any of his vehicles. So, it's a pretty good goddamn conversation. We're sitting there walking around, and he's giving me the skinny, the 411, the info on where all these cars come from, the motors, and what they mean to him. And of course, me being the cheap motherfucker that I am, I'm trying to buy every single car I can off Bill, but I'm making the lowest ball offers that can ever be offered. And I know he's not going to take me up on them. But anyway, now that I got that 2003 Ford Focus, 65,000 miles, metallic P, and that thing is in showroom condition with the fact that I got it detailed, got all the mechanical stuff out of the way. So, hey, Bill, if you listen to this, I might be driving that motherfucker back up there to the San Diego area, roll into your garage, and make a little bit of a swap. I'll bring a little extra cash money for motivation. I'm just kidding you, Bill. Anyway, but like I was going to say, before we get this conversation with Bill, God damn, I'm telling you what, folks, this Saturday, let me click on my computer here. I've been watching all this stuff about UFC 200 coming up in Las Vegas, Nevada. Man, I'm on the MMAfighting.com, and they got all these embedded videos, and they're showing what a lot of these athletes are doing just to kill time, you know, before they get into, you know, the fight. And it shows Brock Lesnar trying to find some gloves that'll fit. This guy's got the biggest goddamn hands in the history of MMA. He's got some 4X gloves, and they're snug. And it goes to show Mark Hunt's game plan. And not so much his game plan. He's just kind of chilling out and laying low. Misha Tate's kind of chilling with friends out on the water. Frankie Edgar's got a little fireworks going on. And DC, my man Daniel Cormier, training down there. And San Jose, he's getting ready. John Jones is doing a little swimming. But I'll tell you what. This damn UFC 200 is going to be one knockdown, drag-out affair. Let me get the damn thing here on my computer. UFC 200 from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. Give me the official fight card. All right, here we go. Goddamn main event. Daniel Cormier who's the champion, versus John Jones, the interim champion. I guess that's what IC means, unless it means Intercontinental Champion, which I don't think it does. I tell you what, John kind of handled Daniel last time they did business. But, man, I tell you what, this is going to be a good fight. Daniel, you got to put it all on the line. I wish both guys all the luck in the world. The thing about it is, I like both fighters. But I've got to talk to Daniel Cormier a few times, and, you know, he's a big pro wrestling fan. So, oh, man, that's going to be a tough fight. And then, goddamn, my boy Brock Lesnar. I was really surprised when I heard about this fight versus Mark Hunt, who just a heavy-handed cat. And Brock Lesnar comes in there with that just outlandishly freakish athlete. He's one of those guys, to me, I always think he's just once in a generation. You know, he's like a Herschel Walker. You know, not a football player, but, I mean, there wasn't too many Herschel Walkers. There's not too many Brock Lesnars. There's not too many Usain Bolts. That's how athletic this guy is. That's how big he is. That's how strong he is. So, I don't know, man. He ain't been in octagon in a long time, but I know he's feeling better without his maybe with his diverticulitis behind us. But, man, I'm a fan of Mark Hunt, but I'm Brock Lesnar all day long on this one. And I hope Brock goes in there and he's feeling like $1 million. And it will be interesting to see what his strategy is, and I hope he does well. I'm pulling for you, Brock. Golly, man. Women's Bantamweight Championship. Misha Tate versus Amanda Nunes. Man, this is going to be a good fight. I just love the way Misha took that belt off of Holly Holm through five rounds of really getting peppered by Holly. And just finally, in that closing minutes, that last round, was able to just almost like a jaguar on the plains of the Serengeti dragging down an animal. And she snuck in that chokehold. And boy, respect to Holly Holm, because, man, it's going to be interesting to see them get a rematch whenever they book that. But Misha Tate, man, she's, 29, 30 years old, and she's just been around forever. And she's always working, staying in that octagon and doing work, and it paid off, and now she's the champion. So down the road, will there be the Rousey-Tate rematch? Will there be the Tate-Holm rematch? She's got to come out of Amanda Nunes first. Certainly can't look past her. That's going to be a hell of a fight. And then, god damn, Jose Aldo versus Frankie Edgar. Man, Jose Aldo got flashed in that damn fight against Conor McGregor, and I just think that Conor was in his head so much, it fucked him up. He rushed in there in a 13-second clip, fastest knockout, fastest finish in the history of the UFC, and he's going against, man, Frankie Edgar. Long overdue. Frankie Edgar's one of my favorite goddamn fighters. His footwork, how tough that guy is. Those fights he had with Gray Maynard where half the time he was getting hammered and you just thought the kid was going down. And he ain't no kid. Now he's a veteran. But you talk about a bad son of a bitch. And you talk about how athletic Jose Aldo is. But, man, Frankie Edgar, really pulling for Frankie. Sentimental favorite just because I love that guy's footwork. And then, guy, one of my favorite fighters, Cain Velasquez. Former champion, he didn't look good against Verdum when they was fighting at height. Where were they, in Mexico? Where that fight was? But, god dang, Cain, one of my favorite fighters, is Travis Brown. What an opportunity for Travis Brown here. And so, it's going to be a badass card. Looking at the preliminary stuff, Kat Zingano versus Juliana Pena. Johnny Hendricks versus Kelvin Gastelum. T.J. Dillashaw versus Rafael Asuncio. And Sage Northcutt versus Enrique Martin. Of course, you've got your preliminary card on UFC Fight Pass. I won't get into it. Well, I'll go ahead. Diego Sanchez versus Joe Luzon. That's going to be cool. Gegard Mousasi, tough dude. Thiago Santos. Jim Miller versus Takanori Gomi. So, man, this motherfucker from start to finish is a goddamn ball buster. So I'm looking for big things out of this damn fight. And it will be a hell of a night at the office because I believe they start off Thursday with some fights on something, Friday some fights, but Saturday, UFC 200. Man, I'm sitting here plugging this pay-per-view. So you know what my weekend is going to consist of. I don't know if I'll catch the Thursday, Friday stuff, but there ain't no way I'm going to miss UFC 200. And also what's cool about Saturday is before the UFC 200 event, one of the funniest comedians I've heard in forever, Bill Burr, is going to come by the house and we're going to do a podcast over here at 316 Gimmick Street. You talk about a funny son of a bitch. There ain't too many people, if any, that are funnier than Bill Burr. We hooked up and he's coming by the crib on Saturday, so I'm looking forward to shooting the shit with him. But anyway, folks, enough about the UFC. Let's get into my conversation with Bill Goldberg at the Goldberg Garage. And the reason I'm able to bring you this personal walk and tour of Goldberg's Garage is because of all the fine sponsors of this here podcast. They make it possible for me to do shit like this for you every single week. And, of course, a big shout to all you people for supporting my great sponsors. And to show my appreciation, I've worked out a real sweet special deal with our friends at Dollar Shave Club. And I've arranged for them to give new members a month of the Executive Razor for free, just for buying a tube of Dr. Carver's Shave Butter. So now there is no excuse not to join the millions of others who have joined the club. DollarShaveClub.com/Steve delivers amazing razors right to your front door for about a third of the price of what those greedy razor corporations charge. So that means when you become a member of the DollarShaveClub.com/Steve, you can afford to shave with a fresh blade anytime you want. And we all know how it feels to shave with a fresh blade. It feels good. I got the Executive Blade, and when you pair it with Dr. Carver's Shave Butter, it's about the smoothest shave money can buy. And that's without breaking your wallet. And Dr. Carver's Shave Butter ain't your average shave cream. It's a unique formula made with natural ingredients that will leave your skin feeling soft and smooth. So join DollarShaveClub.com/Steve now, and new members who buy a tube of Dr. Carver Shave Butter get a month of the Executive Razor for free. Take advantage of this special offer today, folks. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/Steve one more time. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Steve.
Steve Austin Unleashed.
Unleashed. All right, welcome back to Steve Austin's show. Once again, I'm here with Bill Goldberg. We are talking specifically cars or vehicles on wheels. God dang, 70 Cuda.
70 Cuda, 446 pack. The reason why it's got the cover on it and I haven't driven it in a long time is because I so ignorantly backed it out of the garage and hit the garage. Therefore, messing up the rear driver's side quarter panel. And as it sat here for a while, I had a Mopar guru come by the house and look at all my stuff. And these guys who are very numbers-oriented are very anal about their knowledge. And so he looks at the fender tag, and lo and behold, it's a stripe delete car. And so if you look at it, there's an orange stripe on there. So I'm going to completely restore this car because it's badass. It's even more cool now that it doesn't have a stripe. So it's a four-speed, 446 pack, numbers matching Barracuda. That's man, it's cool. It's one of the first cars I bought.
Where did you find this thing at?
Just like I said before, man. When I was wrestling around, I'd pick up the classifieds and I'd look at cars and. Specifically, this one was probably out of Texas. I think this was Texas, too.
When did you turn into a car guy?
I've always been a car guy.
2.5 years younger than me. I've always been a car guy, too. I didn't take it to the level that you did.
But my dad, when I grew, like I said, I had two older brothers, and you'd like to emulate your older brothers. And mine were 16 and 18 years older than me. So they knew cool, 20 years before I was, or, 15 years before I was born, or whatever. I don't know. They had been there and done that. So when I was growing up, my dad was having Jaguars, and my brothers were taking them out and beating the dog shit out of them and fixing them before they came home. So my dad never knew anything that happened. And so, I used to take my dad's Jag and take girls out in high school and then go cruising up in Claremore, Oklahoma, which was 30 minutes away, and, be this brat, rich kid. I don't know, man. That was me back in those days. I didn't have that mentality. I just fell into that auspices,
Tell me about the motors available in this car, because I'm guessing it was a 340, 440, and a 426 Hemi. Was that the motor options? I mean, is the 426 Hemi all that? Because I always heard, Bill,
well, this car.
I've never had one, but I heard they were cantankerous for all the horsepower they possess.
Well, no question of that, and because they weigh, you know, as much as a freaking that bike right there. They're gigantic, and the fact is that 446 pack right here. You know, if I peel this back and you see the numbers and the badging, it's got 3 2-barrel carburetors. When them some bitches kick in, this thing's quicker than that car. That car takes a long time. It's got a Hemi. It's an original Hemi car.
Oh, which car are you pointing at?
It's a Charger. They're right next to it. But you know, putting the 446 pack against the Hemi motor, the six packs. The 440 is lighter. The six pack allows it, I think, to be a quicker motor. The top end on the Hemi is going to outrun the six pack car, I believe.
But are they top end cars? Those were quarter mile cars, right?
Look at the car, man. I mean, the thing, it just can only go in a straight line. It can't really,
right?
You know, go around a corner. So I mean, yeah. I mean, they're quarter mile cars. They're, I mean, you know, that thing probably ran a 15 in a quarter mile, something like that. This thing probably ran a little bit faster, I would believe. But, you know, to look back when I was in high school and the cool kids were the ones that had brothers that were driving these cars. So I always wanted to have them when I got to the ability to purchase one.
Man, my first badass car, my first car ever, was a 71 Firebird Formula. Really came.
Man, that's awesome.
First came with 455 Super Duty.
Dude.
But a guy had jerry-rigged the motor, replaced it with a 396 Chevy. So anyway, I mean, that was my first introduction. We're going to go downstairs and see your Trans Am.
Mine was a 76 Trans Am.
But you got a 73. Oh, your first car was 76 Trans Am. How did you pull that off?
It was stolen.
Did you steal it?
No, I didn't steal it, but it was stolen, and the cops ended up confiscating it from my house, and I had a broken arm at the time, and everything I say is a long story, but I bought this car, and it was a red with black interior 476 Trans Am, because I originally test drove a blue Ram Air 4 70 Trans Am. Four-speed car that freaking hopped sideways. My mom was in it with me. She's like, no, there's no way you're buying this car. So the one car that I wanted to buy was that car. So I bought it eventually. Whatever. But, yeah, I ended up only having the money. I worked at McDonald's. And before I got fired at McDonald's, I saved up enough money to buy half of this car, and my dad paid the other half. And it turned out it was stolen, and I broke my arm, and I don't know, I got in trouble, so I didn't have a license at the time, so I started taking the car apart. And then they found out it was stolen, and they ended up confiscating it in pieces. That's the story of my first Trans Am.
The car next here, you said it was a Challenger?
69 Hemi Charger. I mean, I've had everything. The coolest car, the fastest car, one of the coolest cars I ever had was a 383 convertible Cuda like this. It had headers on it. I broke the world record at Barrett-Jackson with that car, $160,000 for that car. I paid like $20,000 for it. But, I mean, I kept it for a long period of time. But this was the first Hemi car I ever bought. It's all original car. It had been restored like in 89. It had the chicken wire holding the rear quarters together.
Dude, as badass as the black Cuda is beside
this
it.
If I was a car, this blue is
phenomenal.
Yeah. If I was a car, this would be me. 69 Hemi Charger. Big, bulbous, but in your face, just, you know, fuck you. That's what it is.
Sums it up.
It is.
I filmed a movie in Canada. I can't remember. It was a GTX. You have a few of them downstairs. Mm-hmm. Mine wasn't in the shape that yours in, my movie car. But it was, I think it was a four-speed car. And it had the 440. It was cool. It was long. Didn't handle, you know, a corner car.
Yeah.
But it was fucking cool as shit. There's a turquoise truck over here in the corner from a distance when I first came up in this badass garage that Bill Goldberg has. I said, dude, that is a badass Ford 100.
And you were correct. No, but you were correct because every part on it is interchangeable with the F-100. The only difference is the badging, and it's a Canadian export truck, so therefore the badging on you know, the sides there and the tailgate. That's the only difference between a Ford.
Oh, I know that's the only difference, but when you said it was a Mercury 100, I was like, you got to be shitting me. Because so, I love these old trucks, and this is because your wife's from Canada, and yeah. It used to be in their family.
They grew up on a 600-acre grain farm, and everyone learned how to drive on the 3-on-the-tree 67 Mercury 100. It's pretty badass.
Dude, this thing is from Canada. They got some extreme weather up here. This thing was in a shambles when you got it, was it not? Because right now it is
pristine. Shambles. I broke half the bolts off of it. You know, I don't know my own strength, or I didn't when I took it apart. But the reality is that's the only way I could get it apart. It was outside for 35 years. And it's arguably the most expensive 67 Mercury F100 in existence because of what it means to my family. There's no amount of money you can place on memories, and so, you know.
Would you take 15,000 cash for it?
Hell no. Are you kidding me? I'd take 15,000 cash for the wheels.
I'm fucking with you, Bill, God damn it.
I know you.
Dude, these things are just awesome.
It's fun. It's 3-on-the-tree, man. Leno was here a couple weeks ago. They promised me they were going to teach Gage how to drive in it, but ironically, they didn't. But of all the cars that I have, and I've got a couple cool pieces, this is the only thing we drove.
Let me ask you something. We're going to go downstairs, and you got a 46 Willys Jeep that you put together for your wife, and you're talking about doing all the hands-on. How deep can you get into the wheelhouse of mechanics as far as rebuilding motors, body work, or just taking stuff apart? Because you're talking about being hands-on with these cars. How hands-on can you get?
I can get as hands-on as need be, but I can't do the internal of the motor. I can replicate anybody doing anything, but when it comes to learning the intricacies, the timing, the precise measurements, the precise
Mike
timing.
And stuff and pistons and cylinders.
Yeah, the precise timing of carburetors, I'm learning that stuff. But as far as anything cosmetic, as far as rebuilding and restoring, I can do all of it. And that's what I do. That's what I specialize in. Because that, you know, it just takes time and it's laborious. And it's, you know, I'm really anal, man. I'm the guy who takes like 3 showers a day. And trims our goatee, like, you know, hey, you know, whatever.
You're not so, trimming my goatee.
I'm just saying, here's
the,
man.
Dude, here's the thing that I'm not noticing. When I leave my ranch in South Texas, I've got all my mules and my tractors and stuff on trickle chargers. Are you able, I don't see trickle chargers or wires running anywhere. Are you driving these things enough to keep the batteries charged?
No, I told you I had Leno here 10 days ago, and I didn't want to have all the wires. So I've already
got them hooked up?
Absolutely, no doubt.
Now, these things are all detailed out. Everything looks immaculate because you're an OCD freak. You like things high and tight.
Well, that
clean.
Took a month and a half to get the garage ready for Leno because I'm on the road a lot, dude. And, I mean, there's a lot more important things than the floor of my 6,500-square-foot garage, you know, like my family, like everything that has to do with them, whether it's reading a book with my son or, you know, being there for 10 minutes to talk to my wife before dinner. I mean, it's more important than doing this shit. So it took a very long period of time. I had two of my best friends that were in town on vacation, quote unquote, so they thought. But the reality was they ended up, you know, doing labor for me.
But it sounds like your wife is as much of a car slash truck person, well, motorcycle yeah. person as you are. And is Gage, your son, turning out to be a car guy too?
I'm forcing it on him as much as I can, you know, without being that dick parent. But, I mean, I take him to these cool events. And last week I handed out the first place trophy for the Grand Avenue Cruise, you know, the cruise night down in Escondido, which, I mean, they get 2,000 cars every Friday. We do some really cool stuff. He loves cars. I did, you know, you mentioned Texas Motor Speedway. I did the same thing at Bristol about 3 weeks ago, and we flew to Bristol, and I took Gage with me, and that was awesome, dude. Yeah. I mean, it was just really cool because I know a lot of the guys, and Tony Stewart was going to have him sit in the trailer while I did my stuff, but Bristol was so nice to let Gage hang out with me the whole time. And, you know, in the driver's meeting and having Gage in there and, you know, having people react the way that they do with me, it's cool for him to see that and for him to meet these people and get their autograph. And he loves Junior, and Junior's guys built the motor for, you know, Wanda's car. And, I mean, you know, it's just.
Let's trek downstairs. You mentioned this. One of these bikes or two of these bikes are not for sale. Sentimental reasons? What's not for sale?
They're functional, man. That Road Glide over there. Actually, I'm probably going to sell it and upgrade. It's probably, I think it's a 2003. The new one's got ABS, and they're, you know, they're just, they're a little more trick. That one was done. It was massaged by West Coast. And it's cool and all, but I think it's time to update it a little bit. And the other one is the Goldberg, the first West Coast chopper bike that I was presented to, you know, by Jesse at Sturgis. And it's really cool. I'm going to keep that forever. So it's the only one that I've got here that I wouldn't sell.
Okay, so now we know the ones you'll never sell, but I want to know what you're driving when you're just tooling around town running errands. And then there's another Trans Am I want to take a look at. And I've got an offer to make you for one of your cars here. But before we get into all that, let me give a quick shout-out to another longtime sponsor of the Steve Austin Show, Diamond Dallas Page and DDP Yoga. The Resurrection of Jake the Snake documentary is now out on DVD and Blu-ray, as I've been saying for the last couple of months. And man, I'll say it one more time, you have absolutely got to see this documentary. This is one of the most inspirational stories I've ever seen, and believe me, you ain't got to be a wrestling fan to watch this documentary, because it's not a film about wrestling. It's a story of how Diamond Dallas Page literally saved Jake's life. Now, Dallas and director Steve Yu spent three long-ass years working with Jake to help him get his family, his health, and his career back. And Jake was in a real shitty place, headed towards certain death, and it's remarkable to see the transformation he undergoes through the movie. And everyone who's seen this documentary says the same thing. They laughed, they cried, and they left feeling inspired. And how can you not when you watch this thing? And even if you have already seen it, you're definitely going to want to pick up a copy of the Collector's Edition DVD, because Dallas went all out on the DVD release. It has 20 bonus features, including commentary by Dallas, Jake Roberts, and director Steve Yu. And right now, you can get the Collector's Edition of The Resurrection of Jake the Snake at ddpyoga.com/Austin and get 10% off anything you buy for a limited time. So get the documentary and then get yourself on the DDP Yoga program. And do all that for 10% off by going to ddpyoga.com/Austin. As Dallas always says, all you got to do is commit. And when you see what that commitment did for Jake the Snake, you'll want to commit too. Start living a healthier life today. Go to ddpyoga.com/Austin. And for a limited time, get 10% off anything you buy.
So with all these muscle cars at your disposal, and these are your passion, what does Bill Goldberg drive as a daily driver? If you were to have to go, and you don't have to go anywhere, but if you were to go to, say, Los Angeles, what would you take? I mean, I lease the car. I write it off. It's a business expense. My 95 Ford Bronco is my other go-to vehicle, but I just drive a Range Rover because of the – I'm seeing over everybody, and it's a great ride. And as beat up as I am, I lease that car. It's nothing spectacular, but that's what I drive. So what is your daily driver?
You know, I'll be honest, man. It's just it completely – I'm not going to be a dick, but it completely depends on what I'm doing. Depends on where I'm going, how far I'm going. Depends on the weather. The reason why I moved out here to California is not just to be close to L.A. It's because I've got all these cars and I want to drive them all the time. It's why I don't have them in things. It's why I don't have them in museums anymore, because I want to be able to get the keys and freaking drive them, man. So,
but dude, if you're gonna go into L.A., you're not gonna take
to L.A. If I go
Cuda.
To L.A., no. If I go to L.A., I'm taking Wanda's Escalade.
Okay,
no doubt. Every time.
Okay,
every time. I used to have a deal with Ford, and I had a big turbo diesel, you know,
350, 250
dual cab, yeah. You know, 250. I think it was
3/4 ton,
and it was badass. But you know, I take Wanda's car. I take that. You know what I drive every day when I'm here. Is hilarious, but it's part of my disguise. Like I need one, because most every time people think I'm you. I drive a 99 Dodge Ram, man, with like 50,000 miles on it that I bought from Ellis Edwards.
Yeah, he's still working for WWE.
Exactly.
Has that got a Cummins or a V8?
V8, but it was a show truck when I bought it, and then, you know, it was his baby, right? And then along came this movie called The Longest Yard, and along came all this acreage that I bought, And along came all the extras from the longest yard, and I ended up bringing them here and using that truck to destroy as many trees as humanly possible. So that truck is absolutely destroyed right now, and it is probably within 1,000 miles of being driven off a cliff. But with bald tires in the back and with the paint fading off, it's a great disguise, bro. Nobody's going to pull up next to that and go, hey, man, that's Goldberg. Shit. Especially when I got this. Look, if I pull up in any of these, any one of these, people are going to go, man, that's Goldberg, right? If I pull up in a 99 Dodge that's a piece of crap, they're not going to even look twice.
We're fixing to get into a little bit of Chevy area and some Pontiac area, but the overriding theme here is Mopar.
Yeah, I mean...
Talk to me about the Mopar love.
The Mopar thing for me is what got me into these muscle cars that's being different. It's the cool colors. It's even though I have 11 black cars. It's the cool wild colors. It's the big ostentatious motors. It's, you know, the goofy looking design, the big funky looking front end. It's the individuality that I liked that broke the mold.
Dude, I almost bought a car like this. This is this a 70 GTX?
Yeah. Yes. No, 70 Coronet.
Coronet, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between the Coronet and the GTX? Because
Mostly the front. I mean, the front end, the rear end, but the body itself, the B body, I mean, it's pretty much looks the same. It's got the same lines in it, but the front end and the rear end are completely different.
But the side hood scoops, the twin hood scoops on the front are just superior.
It's just a big, goofy-looking car. It's badass.
What about
it looks
the
like
Superbird?
Mad Max.
What about the Superbird? Did you ever own one?
I had one. I had a car that a guy gave me. Tony Stewart and I were on stage at Barrett Jackson, and we were auctioning off a car for Daryl Gwynn. Daryl Gwynn's a Hall of Fame NHRA driver who got injured over in Europe. And we're on the board of his charity, and now it's joined with Nick Bonacani. And there was a guy on stage. I remember we were auctioning off a Harley truck. And the guy on stage says, man, I got a car I want to give you guys, and you guys can do whatever you want with it, and you sell it for the Daryl Gwynn Foundation. Man, this guy gave me the car, and then like 2 weeks later, I flew to Vegas, and I had an idea, and I met with this dude named Ray Everham, and Everham gave me a NASCAR motor for it, and then I hooked up with Year One, and Year One built this car, and we ended up selling it to Ron Pratt, I think it was, at Barrett Jackson for $561,000, and I donated all of it to Barrett to Daryl Gwynn Foundation.
What warranted the $561,000 price tag?
Dude, it was a NASCAR. It was a one-off
okay.
killer car. But at the end of the day, it was a charity car, and what warranted it was the big heart of Pratt and guys like Hendricks and guys like Childress who spent millions of dollars each and every year at Barrett Jackson.
Okay.
That's what warranted it.
You've got your arm resting on. You've got your – this is the Bill Goldberg garage. And in this section, there's 8 cars, and you've got this one on jacks. This is a very special car. What are we looking at here?
This is a 70 and a half Z28 Trans Am SCCA race car. It was bought from Barrett Jackson when I was wrestling over in Japan. It was owned by the 3rd in command of Barrett Jackson. And it's been raced. I've got the original log books. It's been raced since 70. And it's a badass car, man. I saw it being restored for 3 years at the Elliott's compound in Dawsonville, Georgia. And it came up for sale at Barrett Jackson, and I had to buy it.
What's the motor in this thing?
Man, this is a 348 Ford in a Chevy car.
God, has it been stroked?
Uh-huh. Big time.
Okay.
It's sickening. It's a Holman Moody 12-point cage. This car is it's completely ratted out, man. I mean, this thing's sick.
So this
look
car,
at the underside of this car. It's nicer than the top side of most everybody.
But this car is not street legal.
Absolutely not.
Do you get a chance? I mean,
no.
You probably have a little bit of leeway here.
To further emasculate myself, being Goldberg at the advanced age of 50, I couldn't get originally when we delivered it from Georgia. I couldn't get it up the hill. My wife had to drive it.
Why is that?
Because the clutch was so hard. It's a race clutch, so it's either in or out. So I didn't have the ability to feather it or to dump it like she did because she's a stunt woman, quote unquote. But I got the opportunity to pace the historic races at Coronado. And to do that, I drove from here to my house back and forth like 10 times. And I figured if I could do that. Then
fun car to drive?
Oh, man, this is the most fun car I have to drive.
Will you take 15 grand for it?
No.
Okay, let's move on to the next one.
Just for reference, I won't take 15 for anything.
Dude.
Except for what's in the fridge.
Dude, you got to work with me here. This is an award-winning podcast, which has never won any award. Okay. Talk to me about this. This thing is badass.
63 Dodge 330 factory aluminum lightweight. They only made 25 of them in 1963. I went to Barrett Jackson to look for cars, and I took Wanda for the first time, and this car was outside in the tent, and usually the big featured cars are inside, and this was outside, and it was really goofy looking because it has red and white stripes on it, or red stripes on it. And I walked up to the car, and I showed Wanda, and I went, this car's really goofy looking, isn't it? And the guy goes, man, you're Goldberg. Would you please drive this on stage? And that was it. And I ended up leaving with it.
I'm guessing, I'm thinking stock. 390 motor? No, I'm just talking about the motor. Is that 390?
No.
What's it come with?
It's a wedge.
Wedge?
It's a wedge motor.
Okay. Yeah. What's a cubic inch?
It's 426.
Okay.
It's nasty. It's a Ray Barton motor. It's not the original motor. It's the original body that they only made 25 of, and it's a backup car for the Ram Charger program back in the day, which was sponsored by
Dodge.
Give
me the make of this car again.
It's a Dodge.
Oh, it's a Dodge. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying Ford. That's why I guessed 390.
It's a Dodge,
I was thinking
man.
Of the.
It's sick. The coolest thing about this car is, number one, I raced it up in Ohio, and number two, it's a push-button automatic. And it's like they called it a typewriter back in the day. So imagine going 120 miles an hour, shifting from third to fourth gear, taking your hand off the wheel to push a button.
Well, okay, then that makes me ask, is this pre-727, or is this a two-speed like the Power Glide?
It's 727.
Okay. I know a little bit about cars, folks.
You sure did?
Dude, tell me about
speaking,
this.
Hold on.
Go ahead. Bill owns everyone that listens to this podcast.
You know, I know your podcast is very important, but there's only one person I'm going to answer this phone for, and it's that person.
You better answer it. Hey, you guys looking for a used car? Well, if you are, then you should check out TrueCar.com and the TrueCar app, because I bet you didn't know that you can use TrueCar to help you buy a used car, too. It ain't just for new car purchases. There are over 500,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar Certified Dealers nationwide, and there are over 11,000 TrueCar Certified Dealers. And TrueCar lets you get upfront pricing information on new and used vehicles and lets you see what other people paid for the car you want so that you feel confident you're getting a fair price. With TrueCar, via their TrueCar pricing curve, you see what other people paid for the car and you lock in your guaranteed savings. Then you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing, take them your TrueCar Guaranteed Savings Certificate, and make your car buying experience quick and easy. Over 2 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
All right, here we are back with Bill Goldberg. It's Car Central. Got a call. It was the bat phone. Bill is in trouble. I'm grilling the steaks. He'll be sweeping out the kitchen and doing all kinds of stuff.
Talk to me about this 73 Trans Am. Dude, it's reminiscent of my 71 Firebird Formula. Twin hood scoops for me. The single scoop there, TA style. I love the Pontiac Trans Am.
I grew up, Burr Reynolds was an idol of mine, Smoking the Bandit, obviously, that era. The first car I ever test drove and fell in love with was a 70 Ram Air 4 Trans Am, like I told you. And it was so fast, it scared the dog shit out of me, and I wanted one. My mom wouldn't let me get one. So what I liked was the 70 and the 73 have that cool shark-looking nose on it.
Yeah.
But I couldn't afford it, so I got the 76. So once I came into whatever... I went and I bought this car right here.
This is a Texas car, right?
Yeah, I bought it in Houston at the Corvette Classics. Every time I went to a different town, I'd pick up the Auto Saver, Auto Trader. Yeah. Auto Trader. And, man, I bought my Blazer like that.
Hey, what happened to that Blazer? I remember
that. It's in Albuquerque, I think it is, or somewhere.
You sold it?
No, it's still sitting there in pieces. I got to figure it out.
How many miles do you have on this TA?
57,000 on this.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's cool, man. The only thing, it's an automatic, and I don't like that because it's no fun to really bang through the gears because you can't bang through the gears. But it's so rare that, you know, it's really cool.
Will you take 15,000 for it?
No.
Okay, moving on to the Chevrolet Biscayne.
We talked about it.
Not on the podcast.
Oh, we did.
This thing is awesome. Dude, well, talk to me about this kind of whale tail, basically the fin back here on the trunk.
1959, the one thing about 1959 in cars was the Art Deco era, you know, was still seriously in play and come to its prominence, and there you see it right there. It looks like the Batmobile. It's like the Impala. It's the cheap man's version of the Impala. This was a car that I bought at Good Guys here in San Diego like 15 years ago.
And you got it when the getting was good.
Was good. The car is an original 348 tri-barrel car, four-speed car, which is really cool. Original interior, original paint. It turned out that when I replaced the springs in the back, it was a moonshine car because they had shims in the springs, which prohibits it under load from bouncing in the back. So you can put two and two together and figure that one out. But it's a badass car. It's the cheapest car that I have. I paid exactly
$15,000 for it.
$15,000 for it, but I'll be damned.
That's back in the day.
If I take that for it. But
that was back in the day.
Yeah,
when
and people seem to think it's one of the coolest cars that I have, so it's a pretty cool investment. And it's fun. I load the dogs in it, man, and I go down to the beach.
Bill, I asked a hard question on this show. Here's one for you. Will you take $16,000 for it?
For that?
Dude, you paid 15. I'm asking you the hard question. All you got to do is say no.
Appreciation, man. It was like 10 years ago.
Dude, I'll go 16.
Like a dollar a year? No, thank you.
All right, I just got rejected. Fuck. I'm just going to load up and go. All right, talk to me about this Cobra replica.
This is...
Because there's some history behind this.
Yeah, as I said, I was neighbors with the Elliots for 10 years when I was at the Falcons and first got into wrestling. And they... did a deal with Superformance, which was a place that did aftermarket bodies of Cobras, and they would blend the body was from Superformance with the NASCAR motor that they had just used in the race, and that would produce a Cobra that weighed like 2,200 pounds and had between 700 and 900 horsepower.
That's sick.
So I pop wheelies in this car, and it's a death trap. My wife calls it the coffin. But why not have it? It's pretty cool. One of the coolest stories I had with this car, other than popping the front end off the ground at 90, first time I took Wanda's dad, who's a nice French-Canadian, older gentleman who came down, and very gentle, smaller gentleman who fits perfectly in the car, and I look like a monkey fucking a football. But... we're going down the road, man, and I bought this house primarily because of, you know, its location, because of the road and all this kind of stuff. The road's really cool coming up to it. So, I'm banging first gear, and I shift to second gear. Right when I shift to second gear and get on the throttle, the bolt that holds the windshield snaps in half and flies back and hits me right in the sunglasses. Man, I thought that was the coolest thing ever because there was so much torque in this thing that it just completely snapped the bolt right off the windshield. And he was holding on for dear life. But it was fun.
He probably thought that you were the craziest motherfucker that ever took a ride with.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey, I'm family, so.
Hey, talk to me about, I don't want to knock your canister over there. Oh, dude, this is the one and only. Introduce it, Bill.
It's called the Lawman Super Boss, man. Anybody out there with a computer, if you're over like 2 years old, you probably have one. Google it. You owe yourself as a red-blooded American to Google this car. This car was a campaign in Vietnam during 70 to 72, and it was the reasoning behind this car was because there was a corporate lawyer at Chrysler who was a drag racer named Al Ekstrand, and he was tired of seeing servicemen coming back and paying $3,500 for a car and wrapping themselves around a telephone pole because it had 500 horsepower and they didn't know how to drive. So he took these cool, badass cars over to Vietnam and taught these guys safety driving, like through courses and all kind of shit, right? So this, along with one other car exactly like it, was where the one was a PR car, one was the car that would boost the morale. The guys who, you know, were in the VA and couldn't come out and take part in the drive, and they could come to the window and see this badass motherfucker, you know, spit 1,200 horsepower out and rip down the tarmac and, you know, see some American pride, red, white, and blue go down there. And long story short, one of them got crushed over in Vietnam, and C-130 went back to the States and got this one, and over 300,000 servicemen saw it back in the day, and I bought it, reenacted the tour with Ford, and now my son owns it. And it's the
Where did you find this car at, Bill?
Pear Jackson. I saw a special on it on 60 Minutes in November. The following January, I was in Japan, and a buddy of mine said, "Hey, man," he called me at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, "Hey, man, you ought to see this car they brought on stage. They started up and blew all the plants off the stage." You know, some inside information is the Gas Monkey Garage guys, the money behind it, that's who I bought it from.
Jesus, what's his name, Richard Rollins?
No, his guy, the dude with the wavy hair
right.
stuff. Not Rollins, but the other guy.
Okay.
The guy who always shows up with the briefcase. Dennis Collins. Yeah, Dennis.
Hey, so
Dennis sold me this. Dennis used to drive this to work every day.
Why did he sell it to you? Because this is
because he didn't know what it was. I paid $120,000 for it. It's worth 20 times that.
Fucking believable. Now, when I see the 429, that is the 429 Cobra jet?
Blown and injected, so it's got 1,200 horsepower. Built by Connie Coletta. Only automatic left in the world. They only built two of them. The other one was crushed. This is the only automatic, 898 miles on it.
Do you ever take this thing out?
No, I don't right now. I did when I reenacted the tour, but I'll put it on the trailer and take it down to Pendleton when a bunch of guys are coming back from deployment so they can see it, you know, and it gives them some pride. But other than that, I don't run it.
I love the Hoosier slicks on the back. I've always liked the – I'm a big guy that just, you know, with font and lettering catches my eye. And a lot Absolutely. Of times, being an NHRA fan as much as I am, to see those things is pretty cool. Yeah. Let's talk about the last car because we got you in trouble and we got to go grill some steaks.
I ain't in trouble. I just got to go eat.
Talk to me about this Ford Thunderbird because this car, break it down.
62 T-Bird, my grandmother's car, God rest her soul. She's the one that I used to sit and watch Texas Championship Wrestling from the Sportatorium Arena with Fritz Von Erich and all the Von Erichs and... Jesus Christ, that was a long time ago. But it was a lot of fun, man. And that's what got me into the business and got my curiosity about it. And you know, this car is my brother's car right now, but it is a 62 T-Bird that my grandmother bought new. And I used to drive it to high school. And it's got a 390. It's badass. It's cool because you push up the lever and the steering wheel shoots over to the right or to the left. I can't remember, but like a 500-pound guy can slide into this car because the steering wheel completely moves over to the side. So it's cool. It's cool. But I mean, it's a car, man. You slam the door and the entire thing shakes. That's a big
steel car.
It's a big badass heavy car. Yeah. I'm hitting a curb with it, you know, sliding around the corner, slamming into a curb. I was a kid. I wasn't too
smart. Will you take $15,000 for it?
Not at all.
No. Hey, out of all the cars, as we make our way to the door over here, we have more cars to see, but we're going to cut it short. Out of all the things that you've had, Bill, I know that Lawman is very special to you, but I know you've traded cars before. I've come here and looked in your garage. Your favorite car of all time, if you had to pick one car that you would never sell, taking the Lawman out of the equation, what would it be?
Man, I don't have one. Because there's nothing I own that means more to me than that. There's nothing I own that it's sentimental enough. Oh, Wanda's truck.
Yeah.
Truck. Yeah, hands down. And that thing, we got $37,000 in that. That's by far... No, by no means the most expensive vehicle that we have, but it's for a sentimental value, which I think is completely lost on today's society, automobile industry. I could go on forever. The memories that are bestowed in that vehicle are priceless.
Okay. And then finally, talking about a daily driver that's been here in the driveway, you've got a 92 Porsche 911. Back in the day, I guess I was WWF. I had, it was a 2000, give or take, Porsche 911. And then someone let me drive their 911 twin turbo. So I bought my buddy's twin turbo 911, 2001 model, 5,000 miles. I got it right. Mm-hmm. And you've driven one. It's not as sick as a 700 horsepower that you traded Jesse with. But, I mean, it was a whole different animal. I almost preferred just regular aspiration 911 because you could wind it out, you know, with the twin turbo. Again, I don't have anything as quick as what you've got, but it was more, you know, just go through it. To me, the normally aspirated thing was just, or naturally aspirated thing was almost more fun to drive.
Absolutely. They always are. But the reason why I didn't like my twin turbo was it was all-wheel drive. So therefore, it was triptonic, you know, so you could like, always, and power steering. So
tectonic.
You could like, yeah, tectonic.
Yeah.
So you could do it with your finger. So for me, there's no skill involved there. You know, there's balls involved, but there's no skill.
Right.
That Porsche right there, rear wheel drive with that like 600 horsepower in that thing weighs nothing. You go around a corner in that thing and you're dead.
That car has 600 horsepower?
Yeah, the one up at the house?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's the motor?
It's a very well massaged turbo, aftermarket.
Oh, because it's a turbo.
AT.
I didn't know it was.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever have a rough Porsche?
No, but I'd sure love one.
Okay.
I'd love one, man. And, you know, back in the day, shit, I had here's a funny story about a Porsche. I had I went to Beverly Hills Classics or whatever, and I went in and I wanted a, I don't know what I wanted, and I got in Janet Jackson's DB8, and it was too small, and then I got in this, and it was too small, and then I found a 360 Modena that was just awesome, man, and it was black with yellow piping. Bought it, boom, bing, bang, boom. But in the meantime, I sat in a twin turbo Porsche. So I'm sitting at the house. It was about 2 weeks after I bought the Ferrari, and I get a phone call, and the guy says, "Hey, man, you know, there's a trailer on the way down to your house. We're sending you the Porsche. We just want you to drive it for a couple weeks. No payment, no nothing. Just drive it, take it, you know, take it, see how you like it." They knew I loved it. So, obviously, that's like the guy asking me to drive the car on stage. So, what happened? I bought the thing. And I sold it. This is an even funnier part of the story. I sold it to Jesse. The reason why I sold it, because remember those Buns of Steel ads?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is wonderful. I bury myself like more than any higher profile person that's ever been on your show. I'm not even high profile. I never was even. But like how I digress. She's like best friends with my brother's wife, right? Like the Buns of Steel girl. And so I'm over the house and I got the Porsche outside and she walks in and she goes, "Whose penis extension is that in the driveway?" I'm like, okay, bing, bang, boom. I'm selling that motherfucker tomorrow. I sold it.
You
and look
it.
Who bought it.
Hey.
Poetic justice.
Poetic justice.
Can we take a break on that?
Yeah, we'll take a break. Last thing, you had the Modena. You ever in Lamborghini stuff? Or here's
too,
the thing I like
small.
About Porsche. Porsche.
Lambos are too small. Porsche are really big.
But Porsche, you know, you can get a big guy in a Porsche. But my point is, Porsche is a worker man's high performance car because you can drive the shit out of something every single day, and it will hold up.
No question.
With the Ferrari, with all due respect, it's a world class supercar.
It's
but
it'll break.
The maintenance
down.
Issues are way out of the.
My brother's
ballpark.
Got an Enzo. It's $35,000 for a tune up.
Exactly.
I'm not fabricating. It's
right.
$35,000 for a tune up. They got to take the motor out. You know, every time they tune it up. So, I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's all relative.
Last name, last question I got to throw out there. Jay Leno just came over here a few days ago. You got your place in tip-top condition for him to come out here. He marked out for which car?
My wife's 67 Mercury truck.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the lawman, there's no doubt. But,
right.
I mean, he marked out because the theme of the story, the theme of the episode was love story.
Right.
Right. And so that's why we drove in the truck and had Wanda, because I'm obviously head over heels in love with her. And she's the love that, you know, that her family has for that truck is, I guess they believe more powerful than the love I have for the lawman. But and at the end of the day, there's a long history, a 35-year history with it. So, I mean, it fit right in the wheelhouse of their storytelling.
Bill, we're fixing to go to your house. We're going to grill a steak. I got one final question for you. I ask hard questions here. Are you ready?
I'm ready for everything.
All right. I've got an offer for you.
You want it?
You ready?
Yeah.
This is a shoot deal. You're hearing it here on the Steve Austin Show. I'm at Bill Goldberg's house. There's a plethora of cars around here. One of them has taken my eye, and I'm in love with it. I'm offering you right now, Bill.
Oh, God. You can buy
the
lawman. Right there.
He's pointing at a Yamaha Rhino.
That's
I'm a Kawasaki Mule player, the T guy.
But not is it just a Yamaha, which is off brand, but it's literally been flipped. I would guarantee you at least 15 times. And it still goes.
I got to get you Kawasaki. Back to my offer. This is going to make the news all around the world. The lawman, I want it.
$15,000?
No. I'm going to make you a legit offer.
Not a chance.
I'm going to offer you right now on the Steve Austin Show podcast. I'm making you an offer of $150,000 for that car.
Well, thank you. I love you, Steve, and I respect you, you know, exponentially, but $150,000 would not get you the blower off that car. And the blower is original magnesium blower that was built and installed in that car back in 1970.
I'm going to go you one better, Bill, and this is a shoot. I'll give you $200,000 for that lawman car and on a jack.
I appreciate it very much, man. But I'll give you the jack for $200,000. The lawman, not a chance. I actually put it this way. The guy that I sold the Yanko to, which was
Camaro.
The Yanko Camaro, one of seven ever built. And the guy paid a lot of money for that. He says to me, Goldberg, man, seriously, I mean, you want to get rid of the lawman? And I said, well, no, but I will entertain an offer that I cannot refuse. And this comes from a guy who owns 11 Yanko Camaros and a number of convertible Hemi cars. I do not have enough money to buy your lawman. So, I mean, and you know what? At the end of the day, it's worth a lot of money. But it's what it means to me as a red-blooded American is fucking awesome. And it's cool to pass that down to my son. And it's cool to see. I've actually had a couple guys come back from deployment and actually tell me that there are pictures in their garages of their dad in that car. That's bitching, man. That's cool. And it was as much work as we do with the military, and you're going to interview a SEAL, you know, or whatever afterwards, and as much stuff as I do, I'm going to the change of command at the Wounded Warrior West Battalion next weekend. Man, I mean, we do so much stuff, and the reality is they're the heroes. We don't do shit. We entertain them.
I agree with you 100%.
So that means everything to me.
Okay, lawman, $300,000, yes or no?
No, not a chance.
Okay, 70 CUDA. I'm going to offer you right now $50,000.
70 CUDA, not a chance. No.
God damn it, Bill. I drove fucking 80 miles to talk your ass on a Steve Austin Show. What the fuck can I buy here?
I ain't buying
that Rhino.
All I can tell you is the audio gold that you've been able to capture while you've been at Goldberg's Garage will far surpass any sale that you could have with any amount of with any piece of metal that I have rolling on four wheels.
I want to put this out there.
A poet.
I want to put this out there, Bill, because you have a very valuable car collection.
You
bought them all right. You're very passionate about your cars, and I am as frugal as you are. These things have appreciated in value. Notice that when I offered stupid money, I offered below market value, so I knew you would say no. That's the saving grace. I don't want everybody to think I'm trying to be a big shot on the Steve Austin Show. Are you ready to eat a steak?
Oh, well, yeah, I was ready, yeah, absolutely.
Last chance. I'm offering $350,000 for the lawman right now. This is your last chance.
What did you say? $2,350,000? That, honestly,
no,
if
dude,
you were to offer me that,
dude, you
listen, I swear to God, look me in the eye. If you were to offer me that, I would maybe consider it. I wouldn't take it by any means, and I swear to you, I would have to consider it, and I don't think I'd take it.
You're just like that cactus right there. You're a real prick. I offered you 350 G's. You turned me down cold. Let's go, and let's go eat a steak. Thank you for your time.
It's my pleasure, Steve. An honor and a privilege to be in your presence.
All right, everybody, give me the go-home cue. It's time to wrap up his podcast and ride off in the sunset. But before I do, I'm going to give you guys something to watch. It's a short little segment on YouTube. And a friend of mine, Matt, goes over to Bill Goldberg's house and talks to him about some of his car collection. Now, there's just a few of the cars that I saw. I wish I would have had a video camera with me because it could have captured so much more. So there's only a few cars. I saw many more cars, but nonetheless, go to YouTube and search Bill Goldberg's Restored Classic Cars, and you'll hear Matt and Bill talk about some of the badass cars he's got. And again, man, when I was there, I should have had a damn video camera because he has some badass shit in there. And as you know, he turned down every offer I made on every single car he had. So I come out of there with nothing. You know what? Next time, now that I got some leverage, now that I have a 2003 Ford Focus Metallic P, fully great certified mechanical condition, I'm going to drive that damn Metallic P 2003 Ford Focus up in there, and I'll trade him for the lawman, dead even. Maybe I give him an extra $1,500. I don't know. But I want to thank Bill Goldberg one last time. Because here's the thing. When you roll down to someone's crib and you're able to get a three-hour podcast out of them, and we visited as well, that was a lot of damn work. But nonetheless, we had a blast. Hey, couple of plugs. If you want any of my t-shirts from Broken Skull Challenge, if you want some Broken Skull IPA delivered to your door, if you want the Steve Austin Broken Skull Cold Steel Knife, just go to BrokenSkullRanch.com and you can find a click or a tab or whatever it is. You click on that and it'll take you to wherever you want to go to buy all that shit. I got the best beer in the United States of America. I got some badass t-shirts and I got the sharpest blade in the United States of America. That's one badass knife for about $75. Buy that sumbitch on Amazon. You'll save a buck or two and you'll appreciate it. Whether you're opening letters, trying to save your life by cutting a seatbelt, cutting up cardboard boxes like I do every Sunday night for the trash on Monday, or you actually have to take it out and defend yourself with it. Everybody needs a pocket knife, and the Steve Austin Broken Skull Knife is one badass knife, and I highly recommend it. And that's the bottom line, because I said so. Another thing I want to thank real quick here, I want to thank the goddamn sponsors of the Steve Austin Podcast. These sumbitches are the ones that let me do this for you free twice a week, so shit. Big thanks to DDPYoga.com. Go to DDPYoga.com/awesome to get 10% off anything you purchase for a limited time, including the new collector's edition of the Resurrection of Jake the Snake documentary. Hey, big shout out to DollarShaveClub.com/Steve to get a free month of the Executive Razor when you buy a tube of Dr. Carver's Shave Butter. Hey, big ups to TrueCar. And of course, hey, shout out to Amazon. Some bitch has been supporting this podcast since day one. Folks, if you use my Amazon links whenever you're doing any online shopping, Amazon will kick back a couple of bucks to the podcast, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. There ain't no hidden fees. Ain't no extra charges. Hell, you just buy whatever you plan on buying and help out the podcast in the process. Jesus Christ, it couldn't be no more simple than that. And you can find my Amazon links by going to podcast1.com, clicking on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, and hitting the Steve Austin Show button. Hell, what you're going to find there is Amazon links for USA, UK, and Canada. So once again, if you didn't hear me the first time, go to podcast1.com, click the Killer Deals button in the top right corner, then click on the Steve Austin Show and shop to your heart's content. Ain't no extra charges, ain't no hidden fees. They just kick back a couple of con hairs to the podcast so we can pay our production costs. Bookmark it, you can find it a lot easier. Coming up on next Tuesday, I got in my 2016 Range Rover that I lease for business. I drove down to Huntington Beach, California, and talked to probably the number one car designer in the world, Chip Foose, of Foose Designs, because I've always been a huge fan of the show Overhauling on TV. That's one of my favorite damn shows, and they ain't hardly shit good on TV anymore, except Overhauling and Broken Skull Challenge. So it's one of the few shows that I love to watch, and I was watching an episode a couple of weeks back, and I said, you know what? Hell, Chip's only down there in Huntington Beach. Let me make a drive down there and talk to the man. I'm a big fan of the show, and I tell you what, I hope the interview I did with Chip does the shop enough justice because, man, when I rolled in there, we just started shooting the breeze, and we shut the podcast off about 40 minutes in, and he gave me the grand tour.
And I saw so much stuff that, I mean, when we started recording again, you just can't explain, or I can't explain, what these guys are capable of, how talented these guys are. It just goes back to the Goldberg Garage thing I was telling you about. I wish I had a camera to show you what I was seeing, especially at Chip's place when he's talking about all these custom parts and he's got all these things laid out everywhere and he's been working on some of these cars for over 3 years. It's absolutely amazing. And Chip is like a super chill, cool dude. And here's the thing, when you roll up on him, the dude's so regular and normal, but when you start talking about cars, you realize you're talking to a complete genius. You might as well be talking about Einstein explaining E equals MC squared. And he does a great job of breaking it down so a working man like me can understand it. But I got to tell you, man, that dude is in a whole nother stratosphere, and it's one of those things where you really need a camera to understand what I'm talking about or what we're talking about or what I'm trying to talk about when I go have my conversation with Chip Foose. Anyway, it was a great time talking to Chip. I think you'll enjoy the conversation coming up on Tuesday's Family Friendly Podcast. And then coming up next Thursday, I've got the one and only N. Hodgkinson, Vampiro of El Rey Lucha Underground, coming to the show. He comes over to 316 Gimmick Street, and we talk about all kinds of crazy shit. First time I ever met the dude in person. We sat down, had a beer or two, and had a great conversation. It was good meeting him, and he's coming up on the Thursday podcast. And Ted Fowler, 361, is right around the corner as well. There's been a lot of headaches, hassles, and horse shit down there at the ranch going on, and we're going to talk about it all coming up real quick on the Thursday show, because when I talk to Teddy, if we ain't got no four-letter words, we ain't got no podcast. Anyway, keep listening, folks. The 60-second AP news headlines are coming up next. And until then, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Download new episodes of Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.